Well, hey, beautiful people, and welcome back to another episode of Faith and Friends. I'm your host, your friend, and your sister in Christ, Georgia Brown, and my goodness, I am beyond grateful that you are here for today's conversation. It truly is a sweet one, and I gotta tell you, truly from the bottom of my heart, this episode is so special to me and my family because of who we're chatting with and what we're chatting about today. Now, if you're here with us on YouTube, hey, I'm so glad you're here, but if you're driving, please keep those hands at 10 and 2. Y'all, you'll see that I'm wearing my purple Sight and Sound Queen Esther souvenir shirt, and I'm having me a cup of tea with my Queen Esther mug that is super special. I can't wait to tell you about it. We'll talk about it in the episode, and also I have my souvenir program here with all the sweet pictures so I can remember the sweet time that I had just a few weeks ago as I took my mama, my mentor, and my mentor's sweet baby girls, and we went to experience the Sight and Sound production of Queen Esther together. So today, friends, we are chatting with such a beautiful daughter of the King, Miss Katie. Katie Miller is a third generation family member of the founding family that has brought Sight and Sound to life to what it is today. And so today we are going to be chatting about the story of how did we get here? How did Sight and Sound become this two location, now a beautiful platform of all of these productions, now turned movies of sharing the gospel, of Bible stories with animals and song and such sweet, beautiful experiences of coming to the theater and sharing the message of Jesus Christ. So, oh my goodness, I am beyond excited to share Katie with you. She has so much to share and so much beauty to point us back to the Lord. It's such a sweet conversation, and I'm so pumped for just diving right in. So let's just go ahead and dive right in. Well, sweet Katie Miller, thank you so much for joining us on Faith and Friends.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm super excited to be here.
Girl, I am so grateful for your family. Like, I genuinely did not know. I was pretty much today years old, like this year. I found out that this is a fourth generation. Like, you are the fourth generation truly bringing the Bible to life, that really over a million people within a year come from all over the world to come to either Lancaster or to good old Branson, Missouri, to see the Bible brought to life.
Yeah.
Like, what?
Yeah. Yes. So I'll give you like really quick history lesson for those that may not know, but my grandparents grew up, I'm in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. So that's where our like headquarters is. And they both grew up on farms here in Lancaster. We're known for farm country. And my grandfather wanted to be a dairy farmer for his whole life. That's what he was going to do. And when he was 17 years old, him and my grandmother were dating. They got engaged. They're ready to get married. And his mother very tragically passed away. And a couple of months later, his dad came home and said, "Hey, you have to find a new vocation. I just sold the farm. I can't do this without your mom." And so he found himself young, newlywed, without a vocation, trying to make ends meet. And so he really began relying on his creativity. He had always had a flair for the creative, even growing up on a farm. His parents often bought him art supplies for Christmas and birthdays and things like that. And so he began painting and selling artwork out of the trunk of his car to make ends meet. And that led to him eventually purchasing his first camera so that he could take reference photography for the paintings that he was doing. And after several years of doing this and doing lots of other odd jobs around Lancaster County, his pastor came to him and said, "Hey, you have started to do a lot of travel, and I know you've all of this beautiful photography. Would you put on a multimedia like slideshow for us for a Sunday night like church event?" So he went home and he asked my grandmother, and she said, "Okay, but it can't be boring. Like, I don't love when like the church does these like slideshows in the 60s and they're boring." And so they produced their first slideshow, and it was set to music and narration. And from there, it just like it literally exploded. They spent almost the whole next decade traveling the nation, putting on multimedia productions in theaters and churches and schools and civic organizations, hospitals. And eventually said, "We're really tired of traveling. Maybe people would come to us." And so They rented an auditorium at a local Bible college that still is here today in Lancaster. And in one summer, made enough money off of their production to be able to put a down payment on a plot of land and build their first theater. And so in 1976, we opened our first location, and with slideshows, that's what they were doing at the time. And then throughout the years, just they began at adding other elements. So live animals and music and actors and actresses and vocalists and special effects and set pieces and all the things that we're known for today. But it took a while to get there. So it was a full another decade or two of doing slide productions with some other elements until it really did eventually morph into what we're known for today, which is bringing the Bible to life on stage. So that's your really short history lesson. And now I'm the third generation. My kids are the fourth generation. Wow. And they're my 10-year-old right now is up on stage in the show in Moses. Yeah. So it's fun to have it truly be a family affair. I try and pop up there during my lunch break and say hi when he's here. And my other two kids are in the cast as well. So it's fun to watch. Yeah. The Lord continue this legacy in our family and this ministry that we have the opportunity to steward. We really do think of it as the Lord's ministry and our opportunity to steward what he has gifted. So.
Oh, for sure. Katie, this is literally amazing. And I just think about how the Lord has delighted in every detail along the way. Like, can you imagine was that your great-grandfather or grandfather?
No, my grandfather. Yeah.
So your grandfather. So if your grandfather's mom didn't pass away when she did, like, would we be here today where we are? Like, you know, and that's a tragic thing, right?
Right.
But she was a believer and, you know, God is good. And, and it's such a beautiful thing. And it's a journey. It's been over 45 years of this beautiful process. And now you have two theaters. And what I love is when you go to the theater, and I want to talk about all that in a minute because it's so fun. But I love in your pamphlet, you get to see the history. And I'm sitting there before, you know, the curtain's about to open and I'm reading and literally packed theater at 3:30 whenever I went. Packed. Like literally there was not an empty seat in the house. It was so beautiful on a Thursday. Uh-huh. I'm like, okay, we are hungry for more of this. Mm-hmm. And so reading about the history and reading all what you just said, then I learned another piece of info I didn't know about of the fire in 1997.
Yeah.
Could you tell us a little bit about that? Because my gosh, the enemy sure does try to come to kill, steal, and destroy. Am I right?
Yeah. Yeah. No, when you said what you did about what would have been my great grandmother when she passed away, like I don't believe that the Lord causes those things in our lives, but when there are tragedies, when there are hard things, I do believe he uses them for good. Like he redeems, like that's what he does. He redeems the hard things in our lives. And so, in 1997, so the building that we have currently here in Lancaster, we had a smaller theater down the road. We moved to one that was on this property in the early 1990s. It was 1991. It had been here for 6 years. We had just premiered Noah for the first time, which was our first full-length Bible story in a really big way. And we really did have this moment of like, oh, this is the thing the Lord has called us to do. Like all of this other stuff, the slideshows, and it's all fun and it's great. Yeah. But this is what our calling is. And so we really kind of made a decision in 1995, 1996, going, okay, we are now going to produce full-length Bible stories. That's what we feel the call of God is on our lives. And we were in production for the next one. We had just premiered Noah. We were in between shows. It was winter. And we had to do some work on the stage. So we had a contractor come in. And the stage was above our basement. And our basement here at the theater at the time was our storage facility. So he began welding, doing some work on the stage. And sparks fell from the stage down into the storage facility, which was a closed off basement. But it really just turned into an inferno in moments. I mean, we that day in less than 3 hours lost the entire complex. So not only our past shows where we were storing things and the main theater, but our production areas where our shows in development were also in. And everything like it was just it was devastating. And my grandparents were in their 50s. And so 3 days after, they were actually on vacation at the time. So we had to call them and say, you've got to come home. This is happening. Oh. They got on an airplane, not knowing how bad it was, and got off the airplane to us standing there. This was like before security, saying, hey, like, just so you know, we're driving home to nothing at this point in time.
Oh.
And so we really ended up having a moment of going, okay, like what's next? What are we going to do? And so at that point in time, we always call it the kitchen table conversation. My grandparents, it was 3 days after after the fire, we had used their house as sort of like a headquarters. So they had had people in their homes or in their home for 24/7 for days on end. And it was the first time they were alone. Everybody had left. We'd all gone home. It was 3 days later. And my grandfather sat there and he said, "Shirley, like, do you want to come back? Like, we're in our 50s. Like, I don't know that I want to do this again." And they sat there for a little while and she finally responded and said, "You know, Glenn, I don't think I could live with myself for another day if we didn't. Like, this isn't just what we do. It's the call of God on our lives." And he said, "Okay." And so that night she went to bed and he had, they live on a farm still. The farm blood runs deep. So he's still to this day live on a farm. And he had redone some of the barn to be an office space for himself. And so he walked out to his barn and he stayed up all night long and sketched the exterior of our building, which is here and in Branson. So the exterior, we still have that piece of paper that he sketched it out on. And a couple of days later, he went to an architect and said, "Do you think you could build this?" And the Lord's faithfulness through that whole season was remarkable. We actually did not get any insurance money. There was a faulty sprinkler. And so because of that, we did not get the insurance money, but the community banded together. And we had this gentleman rise to the top. He came, he owned a bank at that point in time and said, "I believe in your ministry. I've been a huge fan for years. And if you allow me, I'd love to pull a bank group together to finance your ability to come back." And that gentleman, he's awesome. His name is Bill, but he's actually chairman of our board now. He's become a dear family friend. And we owe so much to him. But the Lord's faithfulness and the people that came into our lives throughout that whole season, it just was it was remarkable. And it's been one thing after another. I mean, I think we often say, like, as a family, we're so grateful for this awesome opportunity that we've had, but we are so deeply aware that it is so much bigger than us. Like, we wouldn't still be here. I mean, COVID was another time we hung on to. Remember how faithful God was through the fire? Because with both locations closed, you know, you just often are at a loss of what, knowing we can't do anything in and of ourselves, but the Lord continues to show his faithfulness. And so for the time being, we continue to steward and trust him with, you know, the in-between parts.
Yeah, truly. It is such a beauty for ashes. And it's so beautiful to look back and to remember his faithfulness, because as I'm going through scripture chronologically, it's like, you know, the Lord told Moses, like, write all this, remember it. And then now, like, Moses is gone. Okay, Joshua, now the Lord says to you, remember it. And then Joshua's about to pass away. And now he's telling the Israelites, remember what I was told, that the Lord told me. It's just incredible to be able to say, look what my grandparents went through. Look what my parents have gone through. Now your literal babies are in the show and you're like, hey, look, this is the legacy that we are truly walking in, all for the glory of God, because it's about his name and his fame. And we're just here, like you said, to steward it for as long or as little as the Lord allows, because he gives and he takes away. And so it's really this open-handed, like I sang at church last night, Katie, "I Surrender All." And just even remembering, like, those words to that song of it's a daily surrender. And so you mentioned 2020, and in the pamphlet I was reading, because 2020 was when y'all opened your streaming platform, which that's incredible. So my first thought is okay, did you have this already planned that you were wanting to launch? Or was it like a, oh goodness, it's time to pivot again. Time to bring the live stage to your living room.
No, it was definitely that one. And again, like, it's just, I wish someday, we always say, like, if we ever write a book, I know someday we have to write a book about just like what God's, the thread of his, you know, fingerprints on our story. But so right before, 2020, we had actually been talking about stepping into the production of feature films. And so we were starting to explore that idea. We weren't, we had some ideas kind of like in the background, and we sort of were like, okay, 2020 is probably the year to really dive into making movies. Like, that's what we want to do. And then obviously COVID hit, we closed, we thought it was going to be for 2 weeks. It ended up being for months and months and months. And it was for us, having both locations closed, and not only were we not having revenue come in from ticket sales, but we had had nearly 500,000 tickets booked that year, that we then had actually millions of dollars going back out in refunds and cancellations and everything like that. So we definitely had many conversations of going, all right, well, it's been a good run. This might be the end. And so in the middle of all of that, through a set of again, miraculous circumstances that we could not have ordained ourselves or orchestrated ourselves. We were all set to have our production of Jesus in movie theaters nationwide for Easter. So we had the file ready. We were going to partner with Fathom Events and do a movie theater experience to celebrate Easter. And when everything closed down, as did movie theaters, we sort of were like, well, we have this file. Like, what can we do? The world is in need of encouragement right now. And so we reached out. We had just made a new contact at TBN. And so we reached out to them and said, hey, we have this file. We're not really entirely sure if there's anything you can do, but would you guys want to just broadcast it for free? Like at this point in time, it's not even about revenue. It's about like the world needs Jesus right now.
Yeah.
And they said, absolutely. And so they broadcast Jesus that weekend. And it was just incredible because we were closed. And that year we were anticipating having about 1.5 million people come through our doors. And in one weekend, over 3 million people watched Jesus. And we had more ministry happen in a weekend being closed than we would have in a whole year being open. And obviously that didn't bring revenue in at the time, but it did spark this moment for us of going, hey, the world is hungry for hope and inspiration right now. We don't know how long this is going to keep going. And so several of us, literally like from our basements, our makeshift home offices, our bedrooms, my home office was like literally my bedroom with like a lap desk, aww, you know, trying to get stuff done. But we spun up a version of Sight and Sound TV that we have now since finessed, but just to get the stories out there. And then when we were able to open that fall, it was sort of this moment of going, hey, like we've never done a live broadcast of our show before. But Queen Esther, more than any other show that we've done, more than any other story that we've told, feels like it truly is for this moment, for such a moment as this. And so we kind of we look back and we're like, how did we do that in like weeks? But we spun up all the, we called our friends in the production world and said, hey, could your broadcast trucks come out? And we did a live broadcast of Queen Esther on Sight and Sound TV. And it truly launched Sight and Sound from being this two location venue that you have to come to. You know, we've coined the phrase that year, like for nearly 50 years, people have been coming to us and now we get to go to them. And there's this moment. So we have this history video that's on Sight and Sound TV that just sort of talks about our history. My grandpa, when talking about the fire, he said, you know, looking back, it's the moment that God took us from that to this. Like he used the fire to allow us to build a larger building, to allow us to customize the building for these live large Bible stories that we wanted to tell. And COVID really ended up feeling like that for us too. It was another, we called it our next that to this moment of going, this is who we were. Now we are this. We're not only a theater company anymore with two locations. We truly are a storytelling company that has a streaming platform. Yes, has the theaters. And now we're walking towards feature films. And the audience that we experienced, the audience growth we experienced throughout that season allowed us to continue the production of films that had been this kind of stirring idea back here. And then last year we were able to release our first film, I Heard the Bells, in movie theaters, which far surpassed what our expectations and hopes were. And we're already in production for another one. So it's been quite an interesting ride just over the last several years to have the Lord kind of just what we thought was going to potentially close us down actually be the catalyst that propelled us forward so much faster than we could have ever hoped or dreamed. So
isn't that like God though, Katie? Like it just amazes me. When we think something's dead, he's like, no, child, it's literally just been under the dirt,
right,
getting ready to spring forth for new life. And so, man, like, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. This is just such a beautiful testimony of the Lord and his faithfulness for such a time as this. And I'm so grateful. Like, please write that book. Like, everybody needs to hear this message more and more and more. But I think it's so sweet that when you're in the middle of it, you can't like tell the story. Like you're in the thick of it, right? But it's when you look back, and same with Queen Esther's story. It's like, okay, I need you to tell this story. Remember it. Remember, remember. And so at your Branson location, Queen Esther is in season, which is so sweet. If y'all are watching on YouTube, I got my Queen Esther shirt on. And Katie, this mug is magical.
Isn't it
when
so
it changes
fun?
The colors?
Yeah.
That was genius. It's so sweet.
Yeah, no, the very first time our team, I still remember I was sitting in my office and my my teammate who works with our retail production, she came over, she goes, I have to show you this mug. Look what it does. And yeah, it's just so fun. But when you put it, for those of you watching, when you put hot water in it, all the flowers change color and it's so fun. Yeah.
Yes, thank you for explaining what I was visually trying to. Yes, exactly. It is this most beautiful cherry blossom of beauty that just comes out, and it reflects the show like so beautifully. I love that with all of the products from Jesus and every show, it encapsulates, like, I feel like I'm right back in the theater. Mm-hmm. And so let's talk about the theater. I heard that you recently went to Branson and saw.
I was just there last week.
Yes, that makes me so happy. I was just there a couple weeks before, and I got to take my mama and my mentors and her little girls to celebrate. I just wanted to thank them, Katie, because I wouldn't be who I am without them. And as I go into launching my first little devotional, it's not little, it's a big project, you know, you know how that is. And I'm like, Lord, how can I thank them? And I really just wanted to take them to Sight and Sound. And so we hopped in the car and made our way to Branson, Missouri. And we had the sweetest time. Like from the moment you drive on the parking lot to the grounds, it is so special. And everyone that greets you to like park your car has a smile and they want to be there. And so the overall experience is just, you get to see the hands and feet of Jesus from the moment that you open the door. And so, and then it smells good when you walk in too. So that's fun too. So how was your experience? And then I'll chime in and tell you about mine.
Yeah. Well, I will say like opening Queen Esther for us in Branson felt again like a moment of God's redemption. So in Queen Esther was set to premiere for the very first time here in Lancaster in 2020. And we got all the way up to actual premiere day, like the day of our premiere. We had invited 2,000 of our partners, friends, community neighbors to come celebrate the opening of the show. That afternoon, we found out that we were going to have to close and not actually be able to open. And so we were literally, it will be a moment that I'll never forget. We were sitting all upstairs in our executive conference room with the news on in our like ball gowns for Queen Esther for the premiere, watching our governor announce that he was closing the state and that everything was going to close starting the next day. And so we were like, what do we do? And we said, we're going to have tonight and then we'll close tomorrow. And so we still had, most people still came thankfully, and we got to have our premiere night and celebrate, but then we never opened. And we not only didn't open for 2 weeks, we didn't open for 5 months. So March, April, May, June. Yeah. 5 months. And so, and then once we did open, you know, there were so many COVID protocols in play and we were passionate about keeping our team members safe. And so it was just all very different. A lot of our cast members were masked. Now, thankfully, it was a Persian show, so we were able to do like creative costuming and things like that. But it just was so different. There was such a different vibe. It was hard. You know, we were trying, we'd have team members get sick and we're trying to navigate what that is, or even just be quarantined, navigate all of that. We had reduced capacity. So until the very end of Queen Esther here the following year, we never actually were able to have a full house until about halfway through the second year run. And so it just, the show itself was so challenging. And back to what you said earlier about a lot of times not knowing when you're in it, what is coming out on the other side, we still didn't know. I mean, through most of the time Queen Esther was on stage here in Lancaster, it was a lot of questions of, can we actually continue to do this and do it well? And to the way that we want to welcome guests on property and not have people be in a stressful situation of crowds and all those things. And so last week or 2 weeks ago now, to see Queen Esther open to full houses and be able to actually like throw confetti and feel like such this celebratory spirit around it in a way we didn't get to do when it opened here, was really, really meaningful to our teams. Our producers flew out for it that had produced it for here in Lancaster. And they just had some really cool moments of, you know, just recognizing the hand of God throughout the last couple of years. And so all that to say, Queen Esther being in Branson on stage right now is ridiculously special and just feels like another step of God's faithfulness in our journey. So I'm really biased. I mean, I'm going to sit here and tell you the show looks amazing and our Branson team is wonderful. But like, that really is the story for us. It was more of, it was more around those pieces for us as an internal team more than anything.
For sure. And it keeps you going, Katie. Like, I bet you're sitting there in Branson going, this is why I do what I do. It is all worth it. Lord, again, I surrender. I trust you. This is yours. And my theme, like I feel like the past even couple months has been, God, this was your idea. Like I was your idea. So I'm going to just trust you even when I don't understand, because your word tells me to not lean on my own understanding, but in all my ways, acknowledge you, knowing you are going to make my path straight. And he's doing that. And so to see that in Branson, I got to experience it firsthand. It was just amazing. There's not a bad seat in the house. It's just incredible. The colors, the costuming, everyone's in it. You feel like you're there too, because the stage is so close. It's amazing. And so I'm so grateful for this ministry, and on behalf of the millions of people everywhere, like, hallelujah, thank you. Thank you for saying yes to Jesus, because so many times along the way, you could say no. Like when things get hard, when you're in the middle of the fire, when you know there's another one with you, but you can't see him, you could stop, you know, but you realize it's so much bigger than you, and it's bigger than your family. It's even bigger than, you know, the movie teams and your cast and your crew and your animals, which that's a lot. And you couldn't have started out this way. Like you didn't have the muscles to sustain it, the spiritual capacity. So it started out with pictures in the back of a truck because the dairy farm closed. Like it's just crazy and so beautiful. And so I had the most amazing experience. So y'all, please go. So in Branson, you've got Queen Esther this year. And then up in Pennsylvania, y'all have got Moses, which is so sweet. And then you've got Christmas, a Christmas production, The Miracle of Christmas. Is that right?
Yes. And that's on our Lancaster stage, because Queen Esther's on stage for the first time in Branson. That will run all year this year. Good. So, which is good, because we're selling out crazy. So it's a good thing. We'll keep it going. But Moses is on stage here in Lancaster. And both stories, you know, are just incredible. And two of my favorites that we've actually ever done. And so I know we're not supposed to like have, it's like choosing a favorite child.
I was going to ask you what your favorite was.
Yeah, it's hard to say. Like Moses is one of my favorite shows that we've done. It's such a beautiful story of identity and having a call on your life you don't feel equipped for, but trusting that it is not in your own strength, but in the Lord's strength. And so, you know, it's a story that's meant a lot. It first premiered here in Lancaster in 2014. And ever since then has still been one of my most favorite stories we've ever had the opportunity to tell. And so having that on stage and then Queen Esther out in Branson, it just feels like a really redemptive year for us as an organization, which is a blessing and something we feel really, really grateful for.
Absolutely. And Katie, I got to tell you the sweetest story about my family, how Sight and Sound has affected us. Is a couple of years ago, I honestly could not tell you if it was 21 or 22. I feel like the time just since 2020, I'm like, hello, it's a free-for-all. But my family went to go see Jesus. It was the week after my Mimi's birthday. She had just had COVID. So it must have been 21. So very early on. And, you know, she's a little older. Of course, she's my grandmama. And so they were all going to celebrate her birthday a week after, because she was like very deathly sick. She got COVID very, very badly. So she was all recovered. They packed up the car. They went to go see Jesus to celebrate her birthday. Mm-hmm. And they had the best time, but we didn't know that that was going to be her last trip anywhere. And so 2 weeks later, she passed on over into eternity. And so my family, I wasn't able to be there. I had to be here in Tennessee, but my family and my cousins all got to be together to go see Jesus. And it was just the sweetest memory that they still get to hold on to and remember that that was such a special day for them. So in my little bookshelf for my little podcast setup for our intros and outros that our friends will see, I have this little like little wheat, like it makes me think of the wheat and the tares, but then I have a little sheep. And that was what my Mimi bought herself at the little gift shop after Jesus, was that little sheep. And so they gave that to me. And so every time I see that, I think of y'all at Sight and Sound. And then I think of my sweet Mimi. And why is this going to make me cry? But it's just so sweet. And so thank you for impacting all of our lives in such a special way that like I didn't know that, and they didn't know that that was going to be her last like hurrah for her birthday. Yeah. But it's just sweet. It's such a beautiful impact that y'all are making. And so about the animals, can you tell me about the animals? like what? I just, that's so magical to me when I see the horses that look like ginormous, because they're just not in a field anymore. They're literally right next to me. So tell me about that. When did you guys start bringing the animals in? And what does that look like on a normal season run of a show?
Yeah. So I think the animals started because my grandfather, at the heart of who he is, he's still a farmer, right? Like at the end of the day, it was his way to still like be like, I'm still gonna be a farmer. No. So yeah, we are known for our live animals. They run up and down the aisles across the stages. They are a part of our sight and sound family, a part of the experience that I don't think will ever change because it's just everyone's favorite. They totally steal the spotlight. We know it. No, so it was early on where they started adding live animals into shows, as almost as early as we started adding actors and actresses, just because people have such a natural response to animals, like all of us. It doesn't matter how old you are, everybody responds. It's so fun. One of my favorite things to do is actually like stand in the theater, like kind of along the wall and watch. It doesn't matter the age of the people sitting in the audience. They can be 5 years old and they can be 95 years old. And those sheep run down the aisles and everyone turns into a child. It doesn't matter. Yeah. Like it's just so much fun. But all that to say, it's become such a pillar of who we are. But our animal teams are amazing. I mean, we have about 100 animals on site at any given time. About 50 of them are in the show on stage. And most of them have understudies and backups because even animals have sick days and days that they
That's right.
just can't. They need their own self-care days sometimes.
Yeah.
And then we're also usually training animals for our next show that's coming up. And so, depending on what show is coming, it'll need, different animals to help tell the story that are what currently on stage. And so, yeah, between all of the camels and sheep and donkeys and horses and bigger animals, we also have all the different birds and cats and dogs. And we just bought a brand new animal for our next show, which we haven't announced yet. But you have to tune in a couple of weeks. We're going to be sharing what that show is and be talking about a brand new animal that we've never had on our stage before. So we're pretty excited about it.
Well, I
It
know it's not a whale because y'all
is
did
not a whale. We have
Jonah.
done whales. Yeah.
You have done Jonah. But what I
Yeah.
loved about Esther was these birds. I was so dadgum fascinated by these
Yeah.
birds. I was
Yeah.
watching them fly up and I'm like, you
Yeah.
really do turn into a child. It doesn't matter how old you are. If I'm at the farmer's market and I see a puppy, it's like, can I pet your
Oh, yeah.
dog? You
Right.
know, it's such a sweet thing. And God loves animals. And he talks about like the man who takes care of his animal, like it is regarded righteous and all these beautiful, sweet things. And so you really do have to think ahead about, okay, what's the next show? What's the next season?
Yeah.
It's kind of like, Hobby Lobby. They've got, Fourth of July and Christmas
Yeah.
stuff out, like back to school
Right. We
time.
need new birds. Yep.
Yeah, it's time,
Yeah.
And so when it comes to also your cast, what does it look like for casting and the process of rehearsals? Because I love, love, love following you guys on Instagram and
Yeah.
watching the rehearsals and behind the scenes. Like, it's so beautiful because I just love the theater. And so what does that look like, audition process and also rehearsals?
Yeah. So all of our cast members are contracted per show for the whole year. And for the most part, the majority of them have been here with us for years and years and years. Like when we love our team members. We are one big family in many ways. And so we have some cast members who this is their first year, and we have some cast members who've been on stage for over 25 years with us. And so it ranges literally all the way through there then. And so I think for this year, like here in Lancaster, we had maybe 5 to 6 brand new cast members, but everyone else was here from past years. And so we hold auditions throughout the nation, both at both of our locations in New York, and then we also go to several different theater conferences. So a lot of times if we're looking for a very specific person to fill a role, that's what we'll do the auditions for. But then like I said, a lot of times we are keeping our cast members from year to year and hoping that they want to stay as well. And so, but it is, it's a very interesting process. We really do look for people who embody the spirit of the character and the personality that we're trying to highlight. And thankfully, we have an incredibly amazing team, and it's usually not too hard to fill the roles because they just are so incredibly talented, and it's fun to watch. And it's even just different fun. I actually just got done saying this to somebody yesterday when Queen Esther was here on stage, and then it goes to Branson. It is so much fun to go out and watch it. It feels like a whole brand new show because you have an entirely different cast who puts their own personality and spin and their own craft on the different characters. And so to watch them kind of come to life in an entirely different way, there's like, oh, I didn't think about that line in the last time, but the way that person says it just like totally resonated. So it's such a really cool thing to watch kind of how the show comes to life in a very different way with different cast members from year to year. So it's such a fun process.
Oh, I love it. That's just so amazing. And then when the show comes to a close and the curtains are drawn and everyone's clapping and it's just incredible, then there's this moment that honestly left me jaw dropped because I haven't been to the theater and like since I was a little girl. And seeing them have the prayer partners come down and say, "Hey, like we love you, we see you. If you don't know Jesus and if you need prayer," like, okay, that blew me away. I was like, thank you. I just wanted to go down there and hug everybody. I was just so grateful. And because that's what it's all about. You know that it's bigger than you. And I'm sure you could tell me countless stories of the testimonies that you've heard from people and how this has affected their life and been a marker, truly an Ebenezer moment, truly of their story. And so when did that start of adding prayer? Because that is such an important thing in my life that truly should be our first response. And so tell me a little bit about that.
Well, prayer as a whole is a really big part of what we do. I mean, it's we're prayerfully considering what show we're going to do next. We're prayerfully considering how long. I just all of it. And so it's always been a really big, significant part, of course, of who we are internally. And we started to, I think it was about a decade ago, maybe a little bit longer, say, there's such an opportunity here for people to have a moment. I mean, if you are there at the end of the show, there's people crying. A lot of times we were watching guests gather together and pray for even strangers that don't know each other. And our ushers at the time were coming to us and saying, "Hey, like we're getting asked so often right after the show for prayer, and we are praying with people, but we're kind of like, there's not enough of us. Is there a way that we continue to expand this?" And so it was something that we implemented a little over a decade ago, and I think is just a part of who we are now. And it is just a cool way to end the show, especially for those, we do have most of the time we really we sorry let me rephrase that. We feel called to equip the church. We know that people who, for the most part, don't come from a faith background or haven't had an experience with Jesus are not going to drop $80, $70, whatever it is, to buy a ticket and come see a Bible story. However, the amount of times that we hear from our guests, like, "Hey, my husband won't come to church with me, but he comes to Sight and Sound because he feels safe there." Or, "Hey, my neighbors didn't want to come to church, but they said they'd come to Sight and Sound." It becomes a way for people to kind of bridge that gap for people who aren't maybe ready, had an experience with church that maybe wasn't positive and don't know how to navigate it. It's the arts are a thing that bring us together. I think that's why Jesus told stories. He it's when you tell a story, it's not offensive. You're not talking at somebody. You're inviting them to kind of step into this story with you. And that's the thing that we are most passionate about. Whether you are a believer who has lived your whole entire life following Jesus, we're inviting you to step into this story and be inspired and be, rejuvenated and headed out feeling equipped to do all that he's called you to do. Or if you are someone who maybe doesn't have a faith background or isn't familiar with the story, that's okay too. This is a space for you to come and hear and hopefully find hope in Jesus, and it'd be a safe space because we're using stories to be that connector. And so for us, that prayer was just a way to continue that. We know we're not a church in that we don't provide long-term aftercare. We really encourage people, if you have questions, if you need support, go find a local church that's near you that you can get connected to. But that moment afterwards, if somebody is in need, we want to be able to fulfill that if we can.
Yes, and amen to all that. Like, hallelujah. It's incredible. Yes, it is disarming. Stories do invite you in, and that's what you do. You're bringing the Bible to life to show them what the words are saying, what the stories, like this happened. It's like the most beautiful love story and textbook of and history of our family and the faith. And so my stars, like, this is incredible. And so friends, make a trip. Think of, like, truly ask the Lord and pray, who would you want me to invite, Lord, to a show maybe with me this year? You can go see Esther, you can go see Moses, or guess what? Pop the popcorn and on a Friday night, like just Sight and Sound TV, like you got it on the Roku. Like, come on, no excuses, friends. And so it's just really a sweet thing. And so, Katie, I am so grateful for you, for your family, for the ministry that he has entrusted to y'all. I will continually be praying that he continues to use y'all as a light to be a city on a hill because y'all are over in 175 countries with this online streaming. So, honestly, the internet's been a great thing. And so, I'm glad that we've got to spend a few minutes together today. So, Katie,
Thank
thank you so
you.
much.
Oh, likewise, thank you. And thank you for just being allowing us. has to be a part of your story too. I so appreciated the story about your grandmother, and it's an honor for us to be a part of people's lives and be a part of, you know, the background story of what the Lord is doing in everybody's life as well. So we appreciate it, and thank you for the time.
Friend, thank you seriously so much for spending these sweet few minutes with me and Katie. I am so grateful that we got to spend some time with her today. This conversation was so life-giving and honestly just so encouraging to hear about the faithfulness of the Lord and to hear about what He's doing in His kids' lives to further advance His message, because it is all for His glory, because it is all for His story. He is the common thread through all of our lives of His faithfulness, because His word says, I will never leave or forsake you. And as I think about this generation and you and I here at this time, I can't help but think of Queen Esther and her beautiful story of, you know what, maybe we were made for such a time as this. And here we are just still sharing these stories because the word is alive and active and He is so good. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And I am so, so grateful for what He is doing during this time in the earth and in this generation. So all glory be unto Him. And I'm so grateful for Katie's beautiful family and the ministry that they are stewarding so beautifully for His glory. So friends, honestly, I would love to hear from you. Has Sight and Sound affected your family in any way? Oh my goodness, if you're here on YouTube, Cece's making a little appearance. Now, I really would, and Cece wants to hear from you too. Seriously, like my little Mimi story that I shared, this is the sweet little sheep that I was talking about, if you're here with me on the YouTube, of Mimi's sheep that she got at the production of Jesus. Have you been to one of the productions, or even in 2020 when Jesus was shared on TBN? Did you watch? Recently, they showed Joseph on TBN and I watched it with my brother, which was super special, y'all, because my brother at the time was doing local community theater, and guess what? He was Zebulun, the brother in the production of Joseph here locally. So it was just really sweet to see the way that Sight and Sound was doing it, also in the way that my brother in local theater was doing it. And so my, oh my, like this life is so beautiful. It's so short. And so let's make the most of it, friends. And let's sing a new song and let the Lord write the stories that only He can write. And so I'm just so grateful for this time and for this beautiful episode. I pray truly that this year you will get to one of the theaters or watch a show online. It is just such a beautiful experience and you will leave forever better, you know? Whew, it's incredible. So before we go, friends, though, I would love to pray for you. Lord God, I thank you so much for this beautiful day that you have made, and we are going to rejoice and be glad in it. Lord, I thank you for Katie Miller and for the calling that is upon her life and her family. And I thank you for her kids that are in these productions. How sweet is that? I pray that truly they are seeing a beautiful side of your face, Lord, through this production that they are a part of. I pray that their heart is opening up to your word more and more, and that truly we could all learn something from the sweet kids in these shows, that we would come like a child, Lord. And so I thank you. I just pray a hedge of protection around Sight and Sound and all of the productions that they do, all the way from, you know, your greeters to your actors to the animals, Lord, to your cast and crew and the writers and producers. Father, thank you. Thank you that it takes a village, and I'm so grateful that everyone plays their part so beautifully. And so I pray for each and every friend under the sound of my voice that this conversation has been encouraging to them, that these words have fallen onto good soil of their heart, God. And I just pray that truly they see that the Lord is in their story. God is in this story, like that popular Christian song says. I just love it. God is in this story. God is in the details. Lord, you are the same. And may we look back and remember, because remembrance leads to a deepening of faith. So may we continue to look back and said, my God got me through this fire. Truly, just as you did in Queen Esther's story, and just as you were so faithful in Moses' story, God, you are doing the same today in your people's lives. And so may we go back to scripture again and again, and daily, as you are our daily bread, to see of your faithfulness that shines like the sun, because your word is alive and active. And so may we hunger and thirst for righteousness and more of your word. So Lord, I love you. And I just pray for every friend under the sound of my voice that they would be upheld in your righteous right hand, and that you would protect them and keep them. And oh, I love them so much. So Lord, thank you for who you are. Thank you for being our good, good Father. And it's in the mighty name of Jesus that I pray. Amen. Well, friend, wasn't this so fun? I'm so grateful. This was a special episode of Faith and Friends. So I will see you again Friday for our regularly scheduled fun as we continue in our prayer series together. I'm super excited for our next guest. It is just such a joy to hang out with you. I'm beyond honored to meet some new friends with you guys and grow in our faith. What a beautiful thing. So until I see you next time, do not forget, there is a song on your heart only you can sing. Your voice is important.